Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs Wednesday mornings on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. This also goes out on Lilydale Radio, so if you want to tune in for the audio-only version, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio. And there are other Lilydale Radio shows as well that you can tune into throughout the week. And on my particular program, I love to have a special guest on the show that we talk about a spiritual topic, usually relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And today I have as my special guest, Laura Worcester. How are you today, Laura?
Thank you for having me on your show today. I've been watching your show, and I love watching your program. I just think you have such a beautiful way with your guests, and I'm honored to be on here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. It's always amazing to me who tunes into the show, and I feel really honored that you tune into this regularly and that you've gotten to know me pretty well, I guess, over time, and I'm happy that you'll be introduced to my viewing audience today. Laura is a medium in the Boston, Massachusetts area, and you've been a professional medium for over 13 years now, and newly ordained as a minister, and you have your own show on Unity Radio. That's on Mondays at 3 p.m., so there are lots of opportunities to tune in to Laura and one of the things that she does and the offerings that she has on her website, laurawooster.com. And today on our show, we're going to be focusing on trusting spirit, which is such an important topic for people who are developing mediums, student mediums, professional mediums, and also people who just want to touch in with their loved ones and learn how to do those things. So we're going to be talking about that today. And before I get into that, I do need to mention that the Lilydale Summer Season Program is going to be starting at the end of June. And so the 2021 season runs from June 25th until September 5th. So it typically is a 9 or 10 week season every summer. And it always is that last Friday of June until the day before Labor Day. So that's how you know when the summer season program of events will be happening. Every year, that's the same pattern we are on. And we have a lot of great workshops and presenters and message services throughout the day. The Healing Temple will be closed again this year due to COVID, and you can catch the healing services online on the Lilydale Facebook page as well as the Lilydale Healing Temple page. So if you're wanting more information about Lilydale and the events that are happening here, which is a special spiritualist community that focuses on mediumship and healing and spirituality, you can take a look at the LilydaleAssembly.org website. All right, so without further ado, I just want to make sure if anybody's just joining us today that you know that this is Wednesdays with Willa, and I am Willa White, and today my special guest is Laura Worcester, and she's a spiritual medium joining us from the Boston, Massachusetts area. And we're going to be talking today about trusting spirit. I know in my own mediumship journey that is something that I learned early on in development circles that I needed to go ahead and just take that leap off the cliff and trust spirit and know that I was going to be supported in my mediumship. And so every time I stand up to do public mediumship or to do a reading, I have to put myself into the embrace of God and make it so. How about you share with us a little bit about your journey to become a medium, and then we'll launch more into how you developed your trust with spirit.
I think the whole journey is developing the trust of spirit.
Sure.
Right? I think it's still an ongoing thing. It's kind of a spiral that keeps going up. You just keep, you know, growing that connection and that trust. But about 17 years ago, I mean, I always say to anybody who ever asks me, how did you get into all this? I'm like, whoever grows up saying, I want to be a psychic medium. And no, nobody does. A lot of times it just happens, right? Or, you know, so that kind of was what happened with me. I mean, when I was younger, I was actually very sensitive. I could see things and hear things. I was a very clairaudient. And I just thought it was the normal things. When, you know, looking back as I started to, you know, come into adulthood, I just thought it was the realm of childhood, you know, our imagination. And so I kind of never really thought much about it, what I used to see and experience as a child. But then gradually, as I became a mom and into adulthood, and it just started to emerge again in very small ways, where I would actually sense spirit, and I just was like, oh, what's going on? And so at one point, about 17 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, I started dealing with anxiety and depression. And I really believe that. I mean, obviously, sometimes that can be chemically related in some way, or, you know, something more biological. But for me, I feel like a lot of times, too, if you're not being who you're really truly supposed to be and you're submerging that, somehow your subconscious kind of works against that. And I think that sometimes that might be where anxiety and depression comes from, is that we're not being who we're supposed to be. We're submerging who we actually are. I didn't really realize that at the time, what was going on. But I had a sudden a realization that I needed to do something to help control my anxiety. And so I started meditating for 6 months every day, the same meditation for 20 minutes, just to manage my anxiety and to bring my blood pressure down and everything. And then one day I started hearing spirit. And I'm like, okay, I'm either completely lost the plot, or and I need professional help, or there's something more going on here. So I became very curious about and to understand what was happening. And then through synchronicity, I found a book by John Edward. And then another synchronicity, I found Hay House Radio, which was just launching months after this started happening to me. And it helped me, all these things helped me to unfold what exactly is happening and what was going on with me. So I'm like, aha, so that's what's going on. So I just became super curious to understand the spirit world more and the world of energy and the impact it has on us in the physical world, just that whole thing. You should see my bookshelves. I have like tons of books of everything you could possibly imagine, from angels to healing, the old mediums, you know, Ivy Northridge and Arthur Ford and people. I just soaked everything up, and then not really knowing where it was going. And I just, I had teachers along the way that kind of encouraged me, oh, you should start doing readings, you should try doing this. They gave me opportunities to do card readings and things. And eventually, you know, I said, and this is going to segue, I think, into trusting spirit, is that at one point I started sort of being nudged to do things that felt really out of my comfort zone. It's one thing to pull some cards and do a private session with somebody one-to-one.
Right.
But to do something more publicly was really scary to me, because that's not my nature. And so at some point when it became obvious that I was getting more opportunities to be more public with the work that I'm doing, I just kind of threw my hands up to spirit and said, okay, if I'm meant to do this work, bring me the opportunity and I will step up. And boy, I was like, oh, that's great. So it's like, you know, shaking in my boots kind of thing. It's just moving forward, saying I'm just going to do it and trusting. And I've grown from there. And here I am.
Beautiful. Oh, I think I really resonate with your story, because it's so similar to mine in the sense that, you know, when you're on that path, all of a sudden you become like a sponge, and you just want to read every book you can possibly get your hand on in terms of mediumship and spiritual development. And then you just kind of throw yourself into classes and you say, yes, I'm eating this up, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is my world. And then before you know it, it's a true calling that you feel that you understand that Spirit's working with you, because that is a big part of your life purpose, to serve as a medium. And it's such a beautiful thing when we finally recognize it, and we recognize and acknowledge that Spirit has been having our back the whole time and has arranged synchronistically things to align so that we can connect with the right people, to give messages for the right teachers to connect with, and then it just flows and goes. So I love that that's your story. Thank you.
Let me share it.
I think it's fabulous. And, you know, there have been moments in my own life where I've said, well, are you sure you want me to say that? I've asked Spirit, are you sure that's how you want me to say that? Because if I were to say that, I'd probably be tarred and feathered. But they can get away with saying it. And so I'm like, okay, you're taking the rap for this, not me. And then I give it. And then the client or the person who's receiving the message says, yes, I understand that perfectly. Sounds just like them. I know exactly why they had to bring that up right now, even if it's embarrassing, annoying, or whatever. It's almost like the client's relieved that they're still them, that personality is still there. And so I've had moments where I've had to really trust that what they gave me was correct. And I'm sure you have too, those times where you're just like, that's not how you think, but it's the way Spirit thinks. And that particular individual personality that's survived so-called death.
Yeah, it is a process of trusting, and you know, this, and I was telling my students the other day in class, you know, so many people, they, before they get to do a reading in circle, they'll sometimes try to set up their link before they're ready to deliver in circle. I'm like, oh, wait, you might want to get out of the habit of doing that. You know, maybe sense that they're there, but don't go in and start gathering information from them, having that conversation back and forth before you even connect with your sitter. And I understand where that comes from, because I remember what that was like. Because you want to definitely know they're there. You want to make sure they're not going anywhere. You want to keep them right here next to you. And make sure that when it's your turn to deliver a message, that they're still there. That you've got to grow your trust. And if you're in the development circle, that's a great place to develop that trust, because you don't need to necessarily, you can say, okay, I'm just going to know that they're there, acknowledge them, and wait. Mm-hmm. Don't interact just yet. Just hold that link and move on. So I found that helped me in development circle, was just to stop trying to get that link like 10 minutes before I was supposed to deliver a message. And I remember there was one time I was in a class, and I had, this is how untrusting I was, I had like this little note on my hand, a little square piece of paper with the CERT method. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just like, teacher's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just making sure I'm doing this right. Like, he took it right out of my hand and said, just do it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I do. I need to trust. And just be in the flow of Spirit rather than focusing on, okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And just being with Spirit and blending with Spirit and just letting it emerge from the connection. And but again, it is a process, and it's sometimes it felt like two steps forward, one step back. And to the point where now I know when I'm doing a DEM, I don't try to connect at all. I might get a little hello during the day, and I'll say, okay, come back tonight. Come see me tonight. I don't need to connect right now. And I literally don't have a link until I start speaking. That's a huge. I mean, that for me, that was huge. You know, and I actually found my mediumship got better.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because throughout my student years and years as a professional medium, I don't get things in advance. And people would tell me, oh, I get this in advance. And I'm just like, no, if anything starts, I have boundaries. And I'm like, no, you come back. You have to have an appointment.
Yeah,
I'm busy.
Exactly.
So I guess I learned early on to just pause that, so I wasn't beleaguered by information that I couldn't possibly remember and I always wanted it to be fresh. And so, you know, there's a difference in certain teaching styles of mediumship and how mediumship is done, and some people do get things in advance and they don't know who they're going to, but Spirit has always been so wonderful to work with me in the fresh way, to show me who to go to when among the people there. And I think it becomes more powerful and authentic if you just step off the precipice and into that safety net that Spirit has for you. And even with my students, I know that some of them will start getting things in advance because you can feel Spirit is wanting to work with you.
Yeah.
And your energy is getting ready. And you kind of have to hold it back, hold back a little, pull back on the reins so that you can be in a conversation, so it wasn't like a download you got that you give to a person, but rather a conversation that happens freshly in the moment. So I'm glad you brought that up, because
it's
how I work too.
I'd rather the sitter be within the circuit of the connection rather than just like, okay, I'm just taking notes, I'm going to pass it on to you, that kind of a scenario. And sometimes people, they collect the information and they say, oh, this person's been with me all day. And yeah, maybe they can step back into that link, which is I'm brilliant when people do that. It's lovely. But for me, I found that it works. It feels so much better just to be in the moment. And, you know, when I was first trying to really learn to trust Spirit, there was an image that always came to mind, and every once in a while I'll use it. But you know the movie, the Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade?
Oh, yeah.
When he's stepping out on that bridge, you know, and he just has to just take all that he has to take a step onto a bridge he can't see.
That's hilarious.
There all along.
It is so funny that you say this, because people who are in my circle, my current development circle, they know that last week that is the exact example that I gave them.
Get out!
So if they're listening to this, they're going, "Who just said that?"
Oh my God, that's crazy! That is so crazy. Literally, that's like the image that I was using when I was first really trying to, when I was first going out on platform, and I would use that image in my head. Trust like Indiana Jones.
Because there's nothing there from the angle of looking above at that. But if you look to the side, or, you know, you could see.
Once you step on the path, then it appears, and it's there all along.
I love it.
I see Spirit. And where I do struggle with that still to this day is, you know, there's times, like, we all know that, you know, you could have 5 sessions in a day, and there might be one that just doesn't quite click, you know? And it's like, it's like, what happened? You know? And that's where my faith starts to shake a little bit, and then I have to say, you know what, there's so much at play here, there's so many variables at play when it comes to making connection with Spirit. Could be me, could be it isn't the right time, maybe it's not meant to happen today, maybe I'm not the right medium for this sitter. You know, there's all these things that, sometimes that my trust will waver a little bit, but then I have to remember that there's a greater story happening here. There's a greater, something else is happening. There's been times, too, when I've realized months out why it didn't happen the way it did. You know? Have you ever had that happen?
It doesn't happen so much. I would have to say that, that once we have a link, we're in it and we're having a lot of fun. I think it's rare for it to have that kind of energy. But if there's something people don't understand, typically I'm getting a call or an email, you know, that day, or sometimes like a year later, somebody will say, you know, I just listened to my reading again, and I know exactly why they gave that to me now. And it's actually such great proof of Spirit in some ways, because then they really know that we weren't reading their mind or something, that this was truly information that Spirit gave us, Spirit derived, if you will. And so I guess I don't mind that if they don't fully understand in a particular moment, because I know that they will. And not that Spirit is 100% infallible, but I have had occasions where because it's a conversation, and the client will say blah, 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 and Spirit will be like, no, that's not true. It was actually da-da-da-da-da. And then they'll be like, you know what? They're right. And so it's like so funny because they'll be corrected. And and that's how it is in normal conversation with humans here on the earth plane, right? We'll be in conversation. We'll be like, you know what? That's right. That's what happened. Because sometimes memory is imperfect.
Oh, it really is. It truly is imperfect. And it does, and sometimes it is expectations as well. Information will come through a certain way. And sometimes people just want to look at it just this way. And I've had times when people have emailed back and said, oh, by the way, the thing you said about this, I asked so-and-so, and yes, it's true. And then they come back again, and it's like unfolds over weeks and months. Because some of the stuff doesn't make sense to them. But yeah, and going in further, or talking to other people who maybe understood the situation more, you know, within their loved ones' lives. But yeah, and I've had that as well, where you mentioned, like you mentioned with spirit correcting the sitter. It's so funny. It said, but they're saying this. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And it's just fascinating to me.
And I don't feel like spirit's mean about it. It's not like they're going, no, you're wrong. You know, like, it's not like that. They're just saying, no, no, there are actually two of these, and then this, and there, you know, it's so funny that look that comes on the client's face when they realize that this is really happening, that their spirit loved ones are taking part. I think it just drives it home, and then they're able to trust the experience even more, too.
That's so true. Yeah, that's part of it, too, is trusting the experience.
Yeah.
If it doesn't seem to flow, or they just don't recognize a lot of it, they're still exploring their own connection with spirit. They're so new to it. They're like, they want very specific things and given a specific way. And it's just an unfolding that it's a process that's happening that may not be on the surface the most ideal situation. It'd be great for to get yes, 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 all across the board without a pause. But it is a development and trust on their part as well that this actually could happen.
And I think it's educating the client or the sitter or the person who's receiving the message that it's an experimental session. This is an experimental sitting. We don't know what's going to happen.
I say that all the time. This is an experiment.
This is what it is. And that's why we can't guarantee that we're going to connect with a certain person in spirit. We're going to do our best to be an open channel, to pass that on to the person who's here, and to do right by the people in spirit, to convey whatever it is they wanted to share as accurately as we possibly can, too. And so that's what is so beautiful about this experience. If we can go in with that playful mindset, that reverent joy, as I like to tell people, then, you know, it's a sacred experience, it's a joyful experience, and when we have that vibration, we've set the intention correctly for something to happen that is beautiful and magical. So, yeah, I think setting that intention always helps with the prayer and explaining to people how I work, and I would have to say 99% of the time, we just go have a beautiful reading because they're in the right place, I'm in the right place, we're all connected for that high purpose to connect with spirit. And that makes the trust, it builds the trust so that we can have a good foundation for a good reading.
And it's like, you know, sometimes I tell my students too, they say, well, what do you do? A lot of them are starting to do their own private sessions and everything. How do you prepare for that and everything? It just, you do your best. You do come in with the best intentions, with the right motivation, and do your best and show up for spirit. And, you know, prepare yourself as best you can in the best way you know how. And, if you know that you need 8 hours sleep before you do a session, make sure you get 8 hours sleep before you do a session. Take away all those variables that you have control over, to show up at your best and with the best intentions, and that's all you can do, and do your part. And so I find that that helps as well, is when I recognize what I need to do in order to be prepared for a session, and I just know I can do that, and that's what I have control over, and just show up and trust spirit at that point.
Yes, and I think that as a medium, as a developing medium, or a person who's coming to a reading, they have to have set that intention. Everybody has to be in that alignment mode. And it's okay if we have a healthy skeptic come into the room. It's all right. But if they are a skeptic through and through and they just have that kind of energy, they're really not interested in truly having a nice conversation. It's the here on Earth plane, if you try to engage in a conversation with somebody and that person's like, well, you're not telling me what I want to hear. Like, if you did that here on the Earth plane, how far in a conversation do you think you'd get?
Exactly. Yeah. You know what, there's like a tipping point with sitters like that. And
yes.
I've been very lucky. I haven't had too many like that. There's a few. There's the really skeptical person who just wants to prove everybody wrong. And I've had those. But then there's the healthy skeptics that come in and they really want this to be true. They truly want to know that their loved ones are okay, and to the point where they're a little bit nervous about it not being true. And they come in with that skepticism and that little bit of, I don't know. And you wonder, and they're there with their arms crossed because they're concerned about their heart being broken again. And that's another thing too that, you know, to kind of segue into, you know, the importance of our work and how we are that heart connection between spirit and their loved ones still here. And the weight of that sometimes is something that you really have to take into consideration. And, so I think, you know, if we can trust that connection of love and with spirit and their loved ones, and we can really step into that flow.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. And I think it's understandable because people do come to us and they're in pain and they're missing their loved one in spirit and they haven't necessarily been able to feel them themselves, and they thought that because they had such a powerful love or a powerful rapport or bond with them that they would be able to feel them themselves. And so it's difficult for them to necessarily trust that a medium would be able to feel them because they can't. But at the same time, a lot of it's because of their particular energy they're bringing to the situation. If a person is upset, that's usually all they can feel. If they're in a joyful center place, it's easy for a person to go, oh, look at that beautiful tree over there. They start to notice things, or, oh, I see a smile. Or like, all of a sudden, things are more reflective and more into that space of acceptance. And that's what, as a medium, it's part of that experience, helping the sitter to be able to trust us and trust the experience with spirit. Mm-hmm. It's all part of what goes on. And like you said, it's almost like you can feel a little bit of a barrier because they might be nervous. But it's kind of like, you know, like a Klondike, it's summer, it's almost summertime, a Klondike bar that has like that chocolate outer covering. And then you've got that mushy ice cream in the center. So you just kind of have to break through, you know, through the little chocolate edges. And then all of a sudden, things start to beautifully come together within a person. And they're part of that feeling. They know that it's okay. And they can maybe cry or they can smile. And they can feel what they need to feel in those particular moments. And they're trusting spirit in that reading. And then when they walk away from the reading, they're just like, oh, my gosh. Like, this has changed my life to have had this experience. And I know I can begin healing in a way I never was able to before. And that's what is such an honorable part of the work that you and I do and many other wonderful mediums. We help people. I know. We help people to trust that they have a soul, that their loved ones are a soul, and that we continue on and that bond of love never died, ever, 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 and never will. And that's one of my favorite parts of being a medium, is knowing that I've given them back, I've been part of giving them back a sense of themselves as a soul.
Yeah, to start them back on the healing journey.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's been times, too, where I've had someone come in and they're just so, you know, it might be a parent who lost a child, you know, and there's been a couple of times where they're almost afraid to start crying because they feel like they'll never be able to stop.
Yeah.
And so a few times, you know, I've had, you know, moms come in and we start the process, and then I feel intuitively, you know what, can you come back in 2 weeks? I said, I think we've started something here. We started to open a door. It's almost like therapy in some ways, you know, grief therapy in a sense,
yeah.
Where I can feel that they're not ready to go there just yet because they really are afraid that they'll never be able to stop. And so, you know, once the energy, you know, the grief starts to flow, so I'll have them come back, and at that point, they can really, they feel like they know they're in a safe place. Then they feel like they can come back and do that and allow those tears to flow, and they know that they'll stop eventually.
I think you're right.
But it's just, yeah. That's, I mean, never having lost a child, thing, thank goodness. I mean, I can imagine, I can put myself in their shoes and imagine I would feel the same way.
Yeah.
Will I be able to stop crying if this door opens up? So sometimes it does have to be a process, and trusting that this importance of trusting your medium, you know, trusting that we have your best interest at heart, and that we will tune into, you know, what is it that you need right now. Sometimes a mediumship session isn't what you need. It might just be a good chat. And then maybe we'll go into the mediumship session, and maybe in the same day, it could be a different day. But it's that fine, you know, assessment of any individual situation and where they are in their grief.
Yeah. I think you're right that people are sometimes in that fragile space, and that's why some people may recommend that people wait like 6 months or so before having a reading, just to kind of get past some things, because, you know, everything's so raw, and the least little thing is going to irritate further sometimes, and it's almost by them wanting it so badly, it can push it away from them. Because they're in that desperate space, and, you know, as authentic, sincere mediums, we never want to make things worse for people.
Exactly.
We always want to make it better and help them heal. And sometimes that means taking your time and honoring that everybody has to process their grief in a different way and in different time, and it is those subtleties are very, very important, those nuances when someone's going through, as you said, that those delicate stages.
Yeah, exactly. And it's and I've had times where people have, you know, gifted sessions to friends because, you know, they thought it worked for me. I went to a session, everything was great after, you know, and I felt so much better. But that friend may have a different. Maybe they need to experience it differently, you know, and they think that a session with a medium is going to solve all their grief issues, and they may find that it ends up being having to split it up in a couple of sessions to get through it, you know. It's to kind of go through the process of peeling away the layers of the onion of grief. Some people, it can be instantaneous. For some others, it's a delicate, slow process, and that's okay. And that's what, you know, like you and I, we can tune into that and see what feels right in the situation, and listening to spirit, trusting what spirit brings forward.
I think you're right in terms of sometimes people may rush to gift somebody with a reading when they aren't there in their particular process of grief to have a reading yet. I think there has to be a timing of, is this person ready, or are you trying to push this because you know that the end result could be so wonderful, but only if they allow, only if they're ready to trust that experience individually. And there's such a difference between someone being dragged into a situation versus them walking into it and saying, yes, I'm ready, let's do this. It's a completely different energy intention that's part of it. So, yeah, I'm glad that we're getting into the nitty-gritty of stuff today. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's and I don't mean to make light of it by making this analogy, but I'm just gonna. This is the best way I can describe it. So imagine your hair is really long, and your friends keep telling you, "You gotta cut your hair."
Okay.
No, I don't want to cut my hair. And you're not ready, right? You're just not ready. And people keep saying, I'm going to make an appointment for you. Go, okay, yeah. No, not ready. No. And then someday, eventually, you go, you know what? I'm ready. But nobody can tell you that it's time to do that, you know? And it has to be on your own terms and your own acceptance and your own, you know, in your own way. And again, it's a weird analogy to make for a mediumship session, but that's kind of, if people can see that you need it, but maybe you're not ready.
You're not ready for the full scale makeover. You want to keep your mullet or whatever it is. You know?
Right.
You know, you're like, I need this. This is my little comfort space of having this. And it's it brings to mind one of the in the first years of being a professional medium, there was a lady who came for a reading, and she was in deep grief for her son who passed, and her grief had taken the form of going to his school events that he would have gone to, you know, showing up at sports events, the prom, everything he would have done. She was there. She was ignoring her husband and her other children. And when he came through in the ring, he's like, I need you to stop putting me up on this pedestal. I need you to pay attention to my sisters and my brother, and I need you to do that for me. She's like, I don't want to. And so sometimes they're not ready to hear what spirit, because their love of that individual can take a form of an obsession in those moments. So they might not want to hear some of the message of the spirit, but then I do feel that people process that eventually, and they start to go, you know what, I do need to love the people that are still in my vicinity, and I need to trust that God is taking care of my loved one who's passed, and that I don't have to worry about them, that they're going to be okay, or that they didn't do what I wanted them to in this lifetime, that I have to stop having attachments about those things. And it's a hard, hard thing. As a mom with a child that's passed, and no one can tell you anything until you're ready to hear it.
Exactly.
You know, everything could come across as the wrong thing for them to have said to me, you know? And I think we've all had circumstances where we're just like, I wish that person hadn't said that to me at that particular time. And so as mediums, we do our best with the information that Spirit gives us, and we have to trust that that is what they want to convey and the most healing thing they can offer to their loved one at that time, even if a person isn't quite ready to hear it. It's possible that later on they'll be willing and able to accept the message.
Yeah. And that's why it's important for I'm assuming you record your sessions, Yeah, I don't know. Some people don't want their sessions recorded, but oftentimes I've had people come back, and I'm sure you've had the same experience, where they weren't ready to hear what was being said during a session, and then they listened back, and then finally it starts to sink in, and they were taken on board, and it starts to make more sense, seems to fit in their life a bit better, and as they move through their grief. And so that's, some advice that I can definitely, if anybody's watching that is thinking about having a session with a medium, is listen to the session again and see it, as time goes on, it may actually start to make more sense to you, and it seems to fit to where you are. It may not make sense at the time that you hear it, or doesn't fit for where you feel like you are, but to know that healing can still come from that months later.
Yes, it's incredible to me how things can unfold in that way, and I've had people say, I had a reading 15 years ago, and I just listened to the recording again, and I can't believe how healing this is for me. And then I've had other people say, I listen to this recording every day. It's what's keeping me going.
Yeah.
Because I miss my husband or my wife or my child so much, and this is what brings them back to me.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing when you hear that, and it's like, you listen to it every day?
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. You're just, yeah. They're like, yeah, I put it on my iPod. Wow, who knew, right?
Who knew, exactly.
But that's what this experience of trusting spirit, we have to trust that Spirit gives us these things, these little nuggets, these gems, like a beautifully strung necklace that shows up in these moments that people can cherish and really know to be precious to them, because we're bringing back their loved ones in a strong way of beauty.
Yeah. And to use that same analogy, sometimes you have to look at something much more closely and to admire, to look at it and really, take in all the details over time before you really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what other instances of trust do you think are important to share with people today in terms of trusting spirit and mediumship and the healing that comes from that?
I feel like, especially developing mediums, if we're not growing personally, our personal development isn't happening at the same process as our mediumship development is happening, then we're missing something, and definitely the purpose of this is to help other people, but we have to grow at the same time, and we can all become better mediums by doing that. So a lot of it is trusting ourselves, trusting what we know to be true, to trust what we feel is important in life, and seeing what certain things, what's the most important thing in your life, and what are and to hold true to those things and trusting that. That's part of my journey early on was I was kind of just going through the motions of things and just trusting what other people were telling me I should be doing, and people tell me do this, and you should be doing that, and you should be raising your children this way or that way. It was like, because I was a mom at the time this all started to unfold. I'm like, what? So it was, so over time I've just learned to be more discerning, to trust what's true for me, to trust the people I have around me as well, and really trust in what you feel is right for you, and then when you can, that will actually go into your mediumship as well. It'll start to affect it in a very positive way. I became more discerning around the people that were around me. Sometimes people aren't that positive, and they'll tear you down in a second, and I thought that was okay. I thought for a lot of times that was, for some reason, thought that that was the, in certain situations, that was the price of admission for friendship. And so I started to learn to trust that when things weren't right for me, and to step away from those things and set, healthy boundaries with people. So things like that, and I found that I've become a stronger person because of it. I found my own voice. And when you find your voice, you become a better medium, because it's part of trusting what's coming through you, is finding your own voice and spirit's voice. So that it was like a partnership between me growing personally and my mediumship at the same time.
Beautiful. So
have you found that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with everything that you just said. People who know my journey know that I used to be extremely shy. As a child, I didn't want to talk to anyone other than my family. It was almost painful to be around other people's energy. And then eventually I started finding my voice. And as I found my voice, I was able to be stronger about myself. And then my mediumship really helped me to step into that more and more. It's like, as you step into the power of spirit, you have to know what's you and what's them. The baseline of what's you versus what new information spirit is giving you. And then there's also that understanding of the healthy boundaries, like you said, like, all right, you can give that to me for 2 to 3 seconds, but you're not to overpower me or swamp me further than that. And now you by declaring that space of spirit, you can declare that in your personal life. And you can set up beautiful things. You can say, you know what? I'm ready for the abundance that the divine has for me in terms of relationship and joy and prosperity and the wealth consciousness that comes with those things. And I do feel that mediums can step into that joy more and more if they allow themselves to really listen to their soul. You know, sometimes we think that to be spiritual means we have to give everything up. But sometimes being spiritual means increasing your capacity for receiving more.
Right.
And that while receiving more, we can also receive more information from spirit, more good in our relationships and in our ease with other people. And it could all come with that abundant joy. And that unfoldment is very, very necessary. If we don't have a strong sense of ourselves as a soul, then you start to lose track of the sacred meaning of this work.
That's so true.
You know? Then it's just, let's think about things with that rational mind instead of going, okay, but what does our soul tell us what to do? And as spiritualists, we believe very strongly in free will and that we manifest our destiny, in accordance with spiritual natural law. And so to do that means to step into an understanding of our soul and that it all just starts to stir together in such a beautiful way. And I could not agree more that spiritual unfoldment is a very necessary part of mediumship development. If you are not of even mind, spirit cannot work with you effectively. And I've had so many professional mediums and psychics come to me because they were so off kilter. And they were just walking up to people and giving messages and being a leaky faucet and then wondering why they felt like a wreck. And in their life, and they couldn't hold on to things, and everything was just kind of, leaking out from them. And then when we talked about healthy boundaries and them doing their spiritual unfoldment, things changed. And they went from, being in that state of willy-nilly, whatever, into, what? I have concentrated power so that when I work as a medium, I'm 100% on. And, when I want to be a normal human being, having a relationship or a family or growing things in other ways, I can be 100% on with that. And so I do feel that comes down to trusting our souls and trusting spirit in our process.
And managing our energy.
Yes.
Too, and recognizing the power of our energy.
Yeah.
And also this another thing, too, is I found that a lot with students as well, is that there are people who, they, for whatever reason, have come to development or a strong interest in that connection with spirit or just their own soul.
Yeah.
And for some people, there's an element of not feeling worthy of that connection. And why, then they have to explore why. Why do you not feel worthy of that connection? We're all connected to the divine, to the greater consciousness. We all are a part of it. We're part of that ocean. We're a drop in that ocean. And so many of us get disconnected from that. We don't even realize that we're worthy of connecting to spirit, which, on the other side of this, I'm sure you and I both go, how can we not be? Because we're not separate from spirit. We are spirit. But whether it be circumstances in life, trauma, or anything like that can disconnect us from that awareness, and they have to rediscover it again and recognize that they are worthy. And that can be part of the process of unfoldment, is recognizing we're all worthy of connecting to spirit. We're all worthy of connecting to those divine beings and the divine consciousness. And sometimes people think that's only for the chosen few, and we may not all experience it the same way, but we all have access to it, and we all are a part of it.
Wonderful point. And I think it is good to be in a place where we can take things for granted in terms of our spirit connection and things. It's a beautiful place to be there, and other people can live there too. And sometimes it takes those moments of, I am a radiant, loving soul, and that is my true reality. And we can listen to those words of doubt and fear, and it will crumble us. Or we can increase our capacity to understand that we have a deep, abiding, divine presence that's always going to be there for us to access at any point, and that that is our truth and that is our reality, and not the external world or the yammerings that we think we're perceiving from other people. That we can enter into a state of grace and treat ourselves with that abundant joy and care. Yeah, we have to trust that our soul is a divine spark. And then the rest launches from there.
I like that. I'm going to quote that. Trust that we're a divine spark and go from there.
There we go. There we go. Oh, my gosh.
This is so much fun. I love chatting with you. I feel like I'm chatting with a sister.
Of course. You are.
Yeah. Do you ever find? I know you said that you were. You talked about people coming to you. You seem very, very strong with your faith, and very strong with your faith and your connection to spirit. And you talked about how some meetings will come to you because they feel scattered and kind of all over the place. Have you ever had times when? I know I have, where there might be a week, it might be a day, it might even be a month, where you feel, oh my goodness, I need a reset, energetically. This isn't working. There's a shift going on or something. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you have energy ebbs and flows. But for me, the face doesn't shake. The energy can shift.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because I'm a feeler. And so, those of you who were in my Monday night mediumship circle of class, no, I was crying my eyes out. I bawl my eyes out on Memorial Day because I can feel so much for the soldiers and their families and what they go through with that. So I'm on my own energy reset after having had that experience. Because when you're a feeler, you don't just feel your own stuff. You feel other people's.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I learned early on, this is how many readings I can do, and that it's about quality, not quantity, and that I balance out my mediumship with raising my family and being with my husband and having other experiences, that it's really important to be well-rounded in our approach to life, and that it helps to have that faith and to also have those energetic boundaries. And it's a constant okay, I'm going to reset for this. Or maybe you just had a connection with a person and you could tell that they really needed that extra talking or the extra time. And it's all energy. It's all energy. But we absolutely can build into our schedules and build into our lives opportunities to revamp and to have higher energy. And it's just natural biorhythmically for our body to ebb and flow.
Absolutely.
And you've had that too then, right? Where you just,
oh, yeah.
You have to pay attention energetically and not overschedule yourself. And I think solitude. People who've watched my show know I love solitude.
Yeah, me too. I like my time. I like to be social, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I need my little bit of time by my own. Yeah. Like any empath, right? So.
Yeah, being able to take a walk by yourself without anybody else talking to you but God is such a beautiful thing for you to have that time. For me, the reset comes in nature. It comes in solitude. It comes when I hug my child or my husband, those are reset things for me. And then, an opening and the closing prayer in a reading are reset times where I say, okay, I've allowed you to come in between the bookends, and now you must go home with your people.
Yes,
nice chatting,
exactly.
But you have to go with them. You can't stay. Although some of them I'm tempted to keep because
some of them I love. Oh, thank you. I'm like, I love your family. They're so nice.
And being in that vicarious love is so awesome, But we have to trust that that's their family and that's their circumstance, and we have to let them go with light and love. But I think those are all part of keeping yourself energetically up. And and knowing that it's okay that you have moments that you need a little bit more self-care.
Very important to recognize, okay, I need to step back and feel something different, and, yeah, connect with the divine and yourself, you know. So, yeah, it's important. It's really energy management, especially this year for some reason. I don't know what maybe it's because there was so much fear or the reset of everybody and having to reconfigure things that, feeling people's anxiety around what was going on. It's like there was a lot.
There was a lot.
I had to take more time to step back from things and just, okay, let me readjust.
Yeah, I think everybody felt that, and there is a sense of of uncertainty. Dealing with uncertainty, those are moments where we have to give over our trust to spirit even more. When we feel those moments of, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, we do know who's in charge overall. And if we tune into that, that is what can guide us and help us to be strong and to stand for what we know to be ours by divine right, and know that God, the spirit force, needs to be the ultimate authority in our lives. And when we go to that, it is so freeing, because then we stop attaching to these ideas of the human trappings of things. And that's why I highly recommend not watching the news.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
you know, exactly. It's easy to get the news in about 5-10 minutes. If you need it.
Exactly. And it's not because I'll do something like the BBC instead, something outside of my realm, just a wee bit, just to kind of,
get a different perspective. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's part of the trusting of spirit, not just in mediumship readings, but in your life, getting to a place where you can intuitively feel that you are guided, that you're going to get these intuitive hunches, these divine leads that are going to carry you through to your life. And when you get strong in that sort of thing and you eat and breathe it through your life, then it permeates your being and things are more calm. And it helps enormously. But yeah, a lot of people came during this last year and they were like, I don't know what's going to happen. We can't work anymore. I don't know my identity anymore. Where's the money going to happen? You know, and there are all these kind of uncertainties. But what holds true is spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, I've heard a lot of people talking about how the perspective of the last year recognized what's really important. You know, what aspects of their jobs do they really enjoy and what they want to focus on going forward versus what they don't enjoy about their work. And reevaluating and resetting and moving forward. And for some people, it meant letting go of a lot of things and a lot of connections and a lot of what they thought was important. But intuitively, they just knew that they needed to do that.
And some people's families, they've drawn closer together because of this, where they had been scattered to the four winds and they're gathered in closer together. And I've seen parents really step up to the plate more so with their parents than with their children than they ever have before. It's really interesting to me, this phenomenon.
To watch.
It is. The last time this really happened, this kind of consciousness raising, seemed to have been around 9/11. I had so much that they changed their lives completely because of that. So I would say that's like the last big, huge event, as it were, for most people that hit on that kind of consciousness level. And this COVID situation has been very much part of that next shift. And we have to hold true to that which we know to be the divine more than anything, and trust spirit in our lives. Oh my goodness, time's gone by so fast.
Oh,
it's been
so
quick. I know, it's like we blink and it's whoop. But I really enjoyed having you on the show today, Laura. I think it's been great for people to get to know you, and I've enjoyed our conversation so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful chatting with you.
Yes. Yes. And so I encourage people to take a look at Laura's website, so you can, I'll post that here too, so people will have that. Laura Worcester. we gotta say it with the Boston accent, people. And I think it's great, and I encourage everybody to tune in next week on Wednesdays with Willa. My special guest will be my mother, Bonnie. I know she's a favorite on my show, and I can't wait to have her here. And then on June 16th? Oh, I might get the date wrong. But we're going to be talking about the spirit rooms of Lilydale. I have Celeste Elliott as my guest. And so that'll be really cool. I have an unboxing that will happen on that particular day. So make sure you tune in on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. here on my Facebook page. Thanks for tuning in today, everyone. Bye-bye.